I do often think about, like, you know, what is the kind of boundary between AI and human? Because, you know, when I was talking to this AI voice agent, it sounded very much like I was actually talking to an actual human being. And you start questioning, you know, what is the difference between AI and what is the difference between humans?
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Digital Humans podcast. I'm Paul Ashcroft. This podcast explores what it means to be human in a world where technology is rapidly reshaping our reality. We meet entrepreneurs, startups, and industry pioneers at the forefront of innovation, diving into breakthrough ideas and disruptive technologies that are shaping our future. In today's episode, we're exploring how AI technology is revolutionizing the fitness industry. And I'm thrilled to be welcoming our guest, Sunil Jindal. Hi, Sunil.
Hi, nice to be here.
Sunil is the co-founder and chief product officer of Magic AI. It's an innovative in-home health coach that uses computer vision, connected weights, and specialized cameras to deliver personalized training with world-class athletes. Magic's been featured on Good Morning Britain, stocked in Selfridges, named as one of Time Magazine's best inventions of 2024. Backed by VC firms and investors from Spotify, Stripe, Facebook, and Tough Mudder, Magic is making waves in AI consumer tech. Before Magic, Sunil, you helped scale Hubble to $10 million in VC funding. You've worked in retail hardware at Apple, and you founded London's largest sports startup league. You also built training products for fitness influencer Dhiren Kattel. You have a background in physics from Imperial College, and you bring deep expertise in AI and hardware development. So let's get into it. Sunil, why don't we start? Just tell us a bit more about yourself and, of course, about Magic, please.
Sure, yeah. So as you mentioned, co-founder and chief product officer of Magic AI. So we started the business about 3 years ago, and since then we've grown very, very fast. Right now I'm actually sitting in our third office space, I believe. So we've transitioned quite a bit. The team has grown quite a lot as well. So a few months ago, we were five people, and now, you know, we're much bigger. We closed the funding round actually a few months ago. So we raised $5 million, and that's helped us to scale. And we have quite a few sort of crazy plans for the next few months. So at some point later this year, hopefully we'll be expanding out to the US. So a lot is happening at the moment. Outside of Magic, I also play a lot of table tennis. So I'm trying to get to top 100 in England, which is... has been my goal for the past 2 or 3 years now. Currently got a couple of small injuries, which I'm sort of doing physio for, but hopefully I'll be back on it soon. And
is there table tennis in the office there for you?
There isn't, unfortunately. I did set up a league a few years ago, and that was one of my businesses. So I was working with quite a few different sort of companies around London, and we were connecting businesses like Monzo and WeWork, and they were coming together to play some table tennis. But we don't have a table in the office, unfortunately.
Tell us a bit about Magic. What is Magic?
Yeah, sure. So Magic is an AI personal trainer. So it's essentially a 4 foot tall smart mirror. If you don't know what a smart mirror is, just think of a big version of your phone. The screen is a mirror, but behind that you have a computer that runs similar to your phone. And we basically run a fitness application that tracks your body movement. So we have a long set of workouts that we've recorded, and we produce sort of showcases on the mirror. So you follow along with a workout. You have a load of professional athletes like Alistair Cook, who's played cricket for England. You've got Katy Jensen, Strictly Come Dancing. There's several Olympians as well. And you essentially follow along with one of their workouts or the workouts of another instructor. And we use computer vision to track your body movements. So you might be doing a squat, for example. We can count how many reps you do, and we correct your form if you do something wrong. So it's like having an AI personal trainer inside your home.
Sounds amazing. What was the inspiration about this? How did you come to doing this? Obviously, you're a sportsman yourself, but why an AI-powered personal trainer?
The initial idea actually came from my co-founder. So he was going through his own sort of personal training journey where he hired a PT. And one of the things that he learned was that personal training is not accessible for the average person. The typical price for personal training in London is around £50 per hour. And so, you know, we kind of thought, is there a way we can make this more accessible to the average person? So we came together. You know, Varun had these sort of very initial concept. And with my background, you know, in fitness, working with a PT just before this, and, you know, various other projects I've worked on too, we sort of started working on on the concept of magic. And, you know, I think from where we first started, it's only been 3 years so far, but we have come, you know, a very long way already.
I'd like to come back a bit to that story and the journey, but as we stick with the mirror and the magic AI product itself, how effective is it, would you say? I mean, you mentioned a little bit there about how it's helping you correct your form. You know, does it improve your training? What sort of results have you seen with it?
So our goal is to replace a personal trainer, and you know, to get to that point, it's very much a journey. I wouldn't say we're there just yet, but it can do a lot of things that a personal trainer can do, and also it can do it better. In terms of what it can do at the moment is it can count your reps, it can correct your form, it can recommend what weight to use as well for an exercise. So depending on how well you're performing the exercise, our computer vision technology recommends when to increase or decrease the weight. And the nature of the product is that, you know, because we use computer vision and we collect a lot of data, we can use that data to give you a very sort of personalized and nuanced experience. And we can pick up on things that a personal trainer, you know, can't, because they don't have that numerical data to hand. So, you know, whilst the PT can give you more in the sense of accountability, you know, it's one of the areas that a lot of people use a PT for, there are additional benefits that, you know, we already provide that a PT can't. But also in saying that, you know, I think accountability is something that we can start doing, especially when we think about the direction that AI is heading in. And if anything, the technology is only going to get better. So we will slowly, well, potentially quickly, with the way AI is developing, I think quite quickly we will get to a point where people will be thinking of us as a replacement for a PT.
And you mentioned AI there. How's AI technology, let's say, supercharging magic? To my understanding, it's not that you're just pre-playing programs and you're just, you know, following along a pre-made program. It seems very much more tailored to you. So how's that working?
Exactly. Yeah. So there's various different ways we use AI. So we have our own sort of technology, which we've called Reflect AI. And what we've done is that's where the sort of computer vision comes into play. So we've built a series of algorithms and we've trained, you know, all these models that we have in place to sort of track when a user is performing an exercise properly and when they're not. And, you know, when they are doing something correctly, we count their reps. And when they're not doing something correctly, that's when we give them, you know, feedback on how they can do things better. And that's essentially where the AI currently comes into play. And that data is also used to, you know, kind of feed into the algorithm that we have in place when it comes to recommending what weight you should use for an exercise. We also, you know, feed into other sort of AI tools that, you know, companies these days are starting to do. Obviously, companies are starting to feed into ChatGPT and, you know, other sort of tools out there at the moment. One really interesting thing we're working on at the moment, which sort of utilizes our existing Reflect AI technology, which is the body scan. So our product at the moment is very much geared towards becoming a personalized fitness application. But the direction we want to go in is becoming more of a health app. You know, if you look at the sort of general trends with the market, personalized fitness was, you know, it's been a big thing for the past few years, but personalized health is becoming, you know, a much, much bigger thing now. You know, ultimately people, what they care about is their health. And that is why our customers use this product, right? You know, they might care about sort of lifting heavier weights or completing more reps, but ultimately what they're thinking about is becoming healthier and happier. So we're trying to gear this more towards becoming an AI health coach. And that's where things like this body scan feature are very useful, because, you know, we can scan somebody's body and we can report back on things like their body fat percentage and their lean muscle mass, which ties in, you know, very closely with our sort of core goal here as a company.
So that's fascinating. So do you see this as something that it's essentially a beautiful piece of furniture. I guess when it's off, you know, it's a mirror, right? It's when you're not using it as a fitness tool, then it's a mirror. It's a piece of furniture in your house. Do you see it as something that is part of, you know, just your living experience as a human? Are we going to see more of this, these sort of tech enabled things around our home that are helping inform essentially how we live and how we live healthier lives?
For sure, yeah. So I think on the first part of what you're saying there, the product, most of the time it's in its off state, right? So most of the time it is just a mirror sitting in your home and you can use it to comb your hair or whatever. And what is, you know, really amazing about it from what we heard from customers is that, you know, it blends in seamlessly with the furniture in your house. We've had customers to talk about, you know, friends coming to visit and asking, you know, what this is. There was a customer recently who mentioned that, you know, they have the mirror. One of their friends came around and they thought it was just a mirror. And they asked about it. They said, you know, this is a really nice piece of furniture. And then it was only when, you know, this person turned the mirror on, did they realize that actually it can do so much more. I think, you know, personalized fitness, as I was saying, has been a trend for a while. You have, you know, all these wearable devices that people wear. And this is, you know, kind of the latest in that line. And then, you know, personalized health is kind of what we're starting to focus more on. I think that is starting to become a bigger thing, and it will be something that, you know, we kind of, tech will start playing a much bigger role in our lives. Not that it hasn't already, but with the advancement of AI, I think it will become a much, much bigger thing. And we will see, you know, devices like this in people's homes or on their wrists as they currently do. Obviously, Apple, you know, kind of all working on their Apple Vision Pro recently, which is another sort of really interesting sort of direction, you know, for us to head in as a, you know, as a society. We'll sort of see what happens, but yeah. I think there's a lot of interesting things on the horizon.
Yeah. You mentioned personalization, and I think you said earlier that you're investing in personalization yourselves. When you're creating like a personalized programming, will it be able to adapt as your body changes and depending on how you're getting on and maybe even how you're feeling that day? Tell us a little bit more about how you see that working.
Yeah, exactly. So our goal, as I said, is to become an AI personal trainer. We want to replace, you know, an actual human PT. And so, you know, what is it that a PT brings? You know, it's kind of, I suppose, it's in the name, right? It's that fact that a personal trainer, it's that personalization, which is what, you know, we're kind of really, really honing into here. Personalization is kind of, you know, our sort of big focus and doing what we can to sort of make the experience as personalized as possible for people. So one good example is you didn't sleep so well last night. So typically what you would do is you probably end up, you know, missing your workout because you didn't sleep so well. But what we can do is because we have data such as this and any other sort of metrics we collect, we can really use that to create like a very hyper-personalized experience for you. So as an example, what we could do in that scenario is maybe we could shorten your workout. So rather than it being 30 minutes, it's 15 minutes. So at least that way you're getting something in rather than nothing, which is quite common for people. We want to create an experience where when you turn the mirror on, it doesn't feel like Netflix where, you know, you have to sort of go through hundreds of workouts and choose what's best for you. Because that in itself is, you could say that in itself is a workout, right? We want to create an experience where you turn the mirror on and you trust that the workout that we recommend for you to do is what's best for you to do in that moment. Because when you have a human PT, they're not giving you a choice of 100 different workouts to choose from. They're telling you what to do and you trust that they're telling you what is best for you.
Yeah. You mentioned a couple of times that the goal essentially is probably nothing personal to personal trainers, but replacing the personal trainer and making personalized training more accessible to people. For me, this falls under the discussion around how AI is going to replace jobs. And I'd have thought before this conversation, personal trainers would have been one of the last to be at risk of this. How do you think AI is changing the landscape of jobs? Do you think it's going to add to what we do, or is it replacing us?
That's a good question. I think in some ways it will add to what we do. I think the way I see it working, and again, I don't think I thought this through in a lot of detail, but off the top of my head, the way I see this happening is that if we look at developers, for example, at the moment, so we look at, you know, engineers, so they use tools like ChatGPT to maybe check their code or find ways to improve their code or find solutions to problems they have. So at the moment, it's being utilized as a tool to sort of upskill yourself, to sort of make you better. But at some point, I can see it. I can see what can happen is that the technology will get to a point where it's actually better than us in the sense that it can actually replace everything that we do. So I think we're building up to a point where right now the technology for some roles, it kind of adds to what we do, but we'll get to a point where I believe it can actually replace what we do. And I think on the topic of personal trainers, we do get backlash sometimes from PTs who obviously, you know, worried and perhaps, you know, have different views, believing that what we're building can't replace what they do. And I think, you know, that comes from a point of worry, I suppose, right? In some ways, like, you know, you have plenty of people out there who, you know, obviously, you know, have jobs and, you know, they sort of earn money from it. And it, you know, it's obviously very worrying for people, you know, if they believe that at some point, you know, they won't be able to sort of, you know, do what they currently do. So that applies not just to us, but just generally across the spectrum, right? With the way AI is moving, you know, we're going to get to a point quite likely where it's going to replace a lot of the existing roles. But, you know, this has happened in the past as well. And what's typically happened is that, you know, your role becomes redundant, but then a new role opens up and you move into a different area. And hopefully that is, you know, what will happen. I have also seen talks of like setting up a universal basic income because of the impact AI is having on society, which is also very interesting. But I think typically, like, if we look at like history and, you know, what has happened in the past, what often happens is that, okay, one particular, you know, job disappears, but then the technology opens up a new opportunity. So hopefully that is what will happen.
I personally, I see what you think of this. I'm an optimist myself in that at the moment, I don't know, you could probably tell me what percentage of people train or keep fit in any particular demographic or country. But tools like this, which essentially make fitness more accessible and people becoming more conscious of health, essentially is a bigger market. It doesn't mean you're always going to work out at home. Why not? You go to the gym, you work out with a personal trainer. That personal trainer is also then suggesting additional workouts that you can do at home that complements the work that they're doing together in the gym. It just becomes, and I play golf, and I know maybe it's the same with table tennis, but a lot of these industries have adapted to, yes, you need the coach, of course you do, but it can be supported and the coach can be supported by a lot of the technology that people have at home on their wall in terms of the mirror and so on. What do you think of that?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I feel really bad sort of, you know, when I say that we're trying to replace a personal trainer, because there's obviously a lot of, you know, hardworking personal trainers out there who are, you know, earning their money through this. And the implications of what we're building could be negative to some people, but obviously, you know, our goal is to improve people's lives, right? That's kind of why we do what we do. So I think we'll really see. I think one of the big things that a personal trainer does bring at the moment is accountability. And, you know, I have a friend who actually somebody we hired recently who, you know, used to have a personal trainer, and he was telling me that, you know, there were times where he wasn't sleeping very well because he had noisy neighbors, but he was still going to his personal training sessions because he didn't want to let his PT down. And so I think accountability is a really big part of this. So at the moment, I definitely agree that, you know, our product for some people probably supplements, you know, going to see a real life PT. But also, you know, at the moment, you'll get people who are, like, as you said, you know, your example, but also for table tennis, I have a very specific routine that I follow that we haven't built for on the mirror just yet. And, you know, I need to go to the gym to do this. So I think right now, yeah, you'll get people who, you know, probably are better off working out in the gym, people are better off working at home. But in terms of what the future holds, I think, you know, that's to be seen. I did sort of I met one of my friends recently, and she showed me a demo of this this voice agent, which I thought was very interesting. So one thing I've come across before, one thing I've heard people using is this concept of like an AI virtual girlfriend. So people started to build relationships with AI, which I find very fascinating. And when my friend showed me this voice agent the other day, what we did is we called this number, and on the other side was an AI voice. And at one point in that conversation, I felt an emotional connection with this voice, and I felt like it was an actual human being. And that is when, you know, I had much more confidence around the ability for us to incorporate this concept of accountability into the product that we're building in Magic. And when I talk about accountability, I mean the relationship between yourself and the technology.
Yeah.
So what we're trying to do, and what our longer term vision here is, to actually make the mirror feel like an actual personal trainer, like an actual person. When I experienced this, you know, AI voice agent experience, because I felt that emotional connection, it sort of made me realize that, okay, I think, you know, what we're trying to do here is much more realistic than, well, I had much more confidence, at least in the ability for us to do this than I previously did. And, you know, people have relationships with technology. That's been something that's obviously, you know, ongoing. But I suppose what I mean is that we're starting to think of the technology as a person, right? And I think, you know, natural language processing is, you know, it's kind of the goal of what we're trying to do with AI and make
more and more human-like. Yeah. I mean, I was going to ask you, when you interact with ChatGPT or another Gen AI agent, are you polite to it? Or do you just give it commands?
That's a very good question. So I use ChatGPT most days now, and I am polite. I think I was talking to it yesterday, and I actually asked myself, like, consciously, I was thinking about, should I be demanding or should I be polite? And I feel like everything's connected. So it's kind of like, if my conversation with ChatGPT is demanding, then maybe that's something that will transfer into my conversations with actual humans. So I was like, let me talk in the same way I talk to humans.
And maybe worse, with you're teaching it to be demanding of you back, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think the other concern was that as the technology improves, at some point in the future, it's probably going to surpass, you know, what we can do as humans. You know, when it's using me rather than using it, then you know, it will remember that I've been polite to it.
So we best be nice to it, right? When we have our AI overlords.
Exactly. Yeah. So hopefully, we'll remember that I've been nice to it, so it could be nice back to me. But
I do think it's fascinating. Where have you seen when magic is going well? You know, you've got a great following and a great customer base. Understand in particular, you know, women particularly like magic. Why do you think this is? I mean, why is that the case? And B, why do you think that is?
Yeah, good question. So we find that our core demographic tends to be mostly women in their sort of mid-30s to 60s.
Mm.
What we found is that when you get into your sort of late 30s or early 40s, unless you're regularly doing strength training, you start losing muscle mass. And so we find that, you know, there's a core demographic of people here who perhaps haven't worked out before, so they don't really know what to do. They don't have time to go to gym, which is quite common, especially with, you know, sort of busy working parents. People just don't feel comfortable in the gym. And typically you find that, you know, people who sort of meet this criteria tend to be women. And there's like a customer of ours called Nicola, and she posted something recently on social media about her journey using the product. It was really fascinating because she spoke about how she used to be part of a gym, and then the gym closed down, and the next closest gym to her is about a 30-minute drive away. But she's two young kids. And what she said is that the mirror is great because she can wake up in the morning. She doesn't have to get ready or anything. She can just go downstairs. And before her kids wake up, she can get a workout in. You know, it's great for people like that because, you know, for one, I suppose she's really busy. You know, she doesn't need to get ready, which, you know, for women, I think in particular, can take longer than it can for men. So, you know, it's really easy for her to go downstairs, just do a workout. Nobody's watching her, you know, she gets something done. And she just posted a photo the other day of, you know, I think it was of her back, just to show how much stronger her back is, you know, versus, you know, what it used to be before. And it's great, you know, because we were talking about earlier how, you know, you have products like Magic, but you also have actual personal trainers. And, you know, at the moment, you know, there's people who, like Nicola, who, you know, if she didn't have the mirror, she probably wouldn't be going to the gym because, you know, she'd have to travel half an hour every day to get there. And so, you know, for somebody like her, having a product in the mirror is really, really useful. But obviously also there are, you know, plenty of people out there who going to the gym is very useful and very beneficial for. It's just about, you know, I think typically, we're women, especially women like Nicola, you know, love to use products like Magic.
And I understand you mentioned this earlier that you're thinking about new directions for Magic. So I guess particularly with a female following, are you thinking beyond just fitness? You know, can it act in a coach for other parts of, you know, your life, whether it's dancing or other areas? You know, how else are you imagining, or what else are you planning, if you can reveal it?
Yeah, sure. So we have a few dance classes on the mirror already. So these were filmed by Katia Jones, who's a professional dancer, Strictly Come Dancing. We have yoga that we are rolling out very soon as well. So there's going to be a big focus on yoga. That will happen very soon. Pilates is another sort of modality we're going to be introducing. There's a lot that we can do. I think generally what we want to sort of do with this product is not just focus on, you know, various different modalities, but as I was saying, turn it into more of a health coach. So at the moment we focus very heavily on showing you how many reps you've done, you know, showing you your form quality. But what we've learned is that, you know, people like Nicola and, you know, sort of our core demographic, what they care about is their health. Because as I said, you know, these are people who, you know, in their sort of late 30s, 40s onwards, they don't care as much about looking good. For them, it's more about health, right? Improving, you know, lifespan and, you know, sort of happiness in later years, health and happiness in later years. And so what we want to start doing is bringing the health metrics to the forefront. So things like your lean muscle mass, you know, your body fat percentage, metabolic age as well is another thing actually, in calories burnt and, you know, heart metrics, heart health as well. So these are things that we want to start focusing on much, much, much more, because these are the things that our users, you know, really care about. And I think not just our users, just people, I mean, people in general, that is kind of, you know, health is what we should, if we don't already, what we should be prioritizing, right? It should be close to, if not number one. That is kind of the direction that we're heading in. I think if we sort of look a bit longer term, so we speak about AI, the direction that AI is going. So we've started to use Gen AI in the product already. And one thing that we do at the moment is at the end of your workout, you basically receive personalized feedback from the instructor in their voice. And they give you feedback on how you've done in the workout and what you can do better next time. So for example, they'll, you know, sort of explain how many calories you've burned, what your form quality was, but they'll also look at your exercises, that they'll analyze your exercises and they'll see, you know, what did you do well and what didn't you do so well. And for example, if you were squatting and you didn't squat, you know, very well, they'll sort of find, you know, what the problem was, and they'll say, okay, you know, next time you do a squat, make sure you focus on going lower, for example. And it starts to feel very much like a personal trainer would sound. I think that is the start of what we can do with Gen AI. At some point, the video side of generative AI is going to get to a point, I believe, where instead of having a studio, which we use to film content, I think it will just be a case of like just typing in a bit of text into it can just generate a workout for you. And one of the benefits of that is, imagine if the instructor on the screen wasn't, you know, some professional athlete or some other random person, but imagine if it was you or a future version of you. So, you know, elite athletes talk a lot about visualization and, you know, kind of using the power of visualization to achieve your goals. But imagine if like you could see what you want to look like in a year's time, and that version of future you is what's training present you to become future you. And, you know, it could also, they could also sort of speak in the same voice as you. I don't know how people feel about that, because I know people don't like hearing their own voice. But I think there's a lot of really interesting things we can do with this technology. And that is only the starting point, to be honest.
Yeah, that's incredible. It's an incredible idea. As you say, I'm very aware of this, as sort of how sports people and others use visualization to improve their skills. You know, there's stories of gymnasts who have been injured, and they did done all of their preparation for the Olympics from a hospital bed or from their recovery room by essentially visualizing, rehearsing the moves they have to make. And they then went and competed and won. So that's quite fascinating. I'm also fascinated by the idea of the sort of interface with technology that Magic is presenting as an idea, because with Magic in particular, we're beyond, you're interfacing with, you know, a keyboard or a mouse or a trackpad or something, but very much in a very natural language, human, almost a human way, right? Do you see this as a trend that as AI steps out of the box, as it were, we're going to find other applications where we're interacting with our technology in a much more human-like way that's just part of our lives?
For sure. Yeah, that is a really interesting point. So one thing I didn't mention is that we are going to start incorporating voice commands into the product. So at the moment, it is very much like a big version of a phone, and you go up and you sort of, you know, press lots of buttons, but this isn't how you interact with an actual personal trainer. You know, you sort of communicate verbally as we're communicating now. And right now, the way the product works is that, you know, as I said, yeah, it's very much sort of, you know, touching the mirror. You hear a voice speaking back to you. For example, you know, the instructor on the screen is talking to you, or you'll hear this personalized feedback at the end of the session. But it's only a one-way communication. We want to incorporate voice so that you can start talking to the mirror and the mirror will talk back to you.
Mm.
That is where we start getting into the realm of, you know, feeling like a much more sort of a human experience where you're talking to a person. I think a good example I often think about is Star Trek. So I'm a big fan of Star Trek, and in Star Trek, they have these sort of communication devices, and you can just sort of talk to the computer and it'll talk back to you. Or Jarvis is, you know, probably a more relatable example that I'm sure a lot of people know about from Iron Man, where Jarvis is just like an AI, right? You can just sort of talk and talk back to you. I think that is the direction we are going in as a society. When we talk about NLP, so natural language processing, that is very much the sort of the goal with this, right? To try and make it feel natural. When we say natural, I suppose we mean human-like.
Mm.
I think the future is very scary, but interesting.
And these would be software updates. If you've invested in a mirror already, or you're buying one tomorrow, will you be able to access these new programs and potentially even the new, like, voice-activated features?
Exactly, yeah. So we push regular updates, the mirror, in a similar way to how you receive like an app update on your phone. We've already sort of like made sure that the hardware is in place for things like this. And when we do roll out, you know, more features and more things around sort of voice commands, then any existing customers can use it too.
I want to talk a bit more about your experience of growing a tech business, which I'm personally fascinated by. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are. So you've done this where you've taken an idea, or you and your co-founder, you've taken an idea, relatively complicated, a new idea, and very much at the forefront of things. What's been your experience of taking that from idea into actually a real product that's really in the shops, that's really online and is growing and going well? What are some of the things that you've got right? Is there anything you wish you'd do differently? You know, what advice do you have for someone who's about to embark on a similar path?
For us, me and my co-founder, we both went to the same school, but we only really got to know each other when we worked at Hubble. So we were both part of the founding team at Hubble, and that's where we properly, you know, became friends. That was the first job I had after university, and it was only a year and a half I spent in the company, but I often say that the time I spent there, the experiences I had were much more impactful in my life than my 3-year physics degree at Imperial, which is saying something, because I think, you know, studying physics at Imperial it's no small feat.
Mm.
And, you know, the experiences I had at Hubble have helped a huge amount for what we're doing here at Magic. You know, being part of the founding team at Hubble meant that I could go through, you know, much of the early stage journeys that a business goes through. And pretty much everybody around me when I joined the company was somebody I looked up to, somebody I could learn from, and I'd consider a mentor. So it was just an amazing environment. So I'd say, you know, anybody who wants to embark on a similar journey, if you haven't already, I definitely recommend finding like a really good early stage startup and, you know, becoming a part of that. But also in saying that, you know, like, there's a lot of successful founders out there who haven't, you know, been on that journey and have found other ways to get to their goal. So I think the crucial part, I believe, is just surrounding yourself with people that you know, that you kind of look up to and you can learn from and want to become like, I suppose. That is the key. And you can find that in corporations. It doesn't need to be in startups. You can find it in big businesses too. But the people, finding the right people is what's key there. In terms of what we've learned, I mean, you know, like, I don't think I reflect enough on how far we've come, because, you know, there's always so much going on, you know, working flat out all the time. It's quite hard sometimes to take a step back, but we've only been around for 3 years or so when we have come, you know, a very long way. But I think we tend to look forwards more than we look back in startups, and, you know, try to sort of understand, you know, where is it we want to go and just try and push to get there. I think in terms of like advice I would give beyond what I've already said, I think one of the sort of issues we had in the early days when we first started, because, you know, we didn't really have any money, we were sort of bootstrapping, we worked with a couple of like external teams to build like an initial prototype. So we had a team based in India who were building the application, the actual software for us. And then we had, you know, another sort of factory we worked with to build the hardware. And both of those, I'd say, like, if I was totally honest, they were very bad. I don't like to sort of be negative, but or put anybody down. But yeah, they were very, very, very sort of challenging sort of working with them. And I think, although it's only been 3 years to get to where we are now, I think we could have done it a lot quicker if we didn't have them. We had the sort of teams that we have in place now. But obviously, you know, to have what we have in place now, we needed money.
To go through that learning as well, I'm sure, right? In the first case. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So the learning, was super important to sort of help us to get to where we are. But I think we learned very quickly that, you know, the people we had at the time weren't the teams we had at the time weren't the best for us. But the issue was that they were so deeply ingrained in what we were building. They were so crucial to the project that we couldn't really replace them. And at one point I did, and I think I was on a 3-hour call, which went nowhere, and it was very stressful. So, you know, but in saying that, you know, they did eventually help us build something that allowed us to raise our pre-seed. And then that helped us to hire a team internally, which then, yeah, took us to a seed. And, you know, here we are now with an even bigger team.
Yeah, well, it's an inspiring journey and an inspiring story and a fantastic product. I absolutely encourage people to check it out. Where can people find and buy Magic AI, Sunil?
So if you want to try it out, which I do recommend, I think it's one of those products you have to try to really get to grips with how it works. We're in Suffrages, so you can find us in Suffrages in London. Or if you want to check it out online, our website is magic.fit, so magic.fit.
I'm hoping that you're going to get many more people joining the personalized fitness at home. So I've got one more question for you. How do you think Magic AI is going to change our world?
That's a good question. Hopefully, our goal is for more people to live longer, healthier lives, I suppose, if we think about it. And there are plenty of people out there at the moment who don't work out regularly, who don't exercise regularly. They end up, you know, either becoming obese or ending up, you know, going to the doctor's, hospital, you know, taking all this medication. Our goal is to prevent that from happening in the first place, right? So by building an AI health coach, we hope that, you know, we can get more people into fitness and get more people feeling comfortable working out as well. And, you know, it helps that you can do that at home. We want to create a much more personalized experience for our users, right? So we hope that with the way AI is moving forward, you know, what we can do with the Magic product, but also as a society in general, you know, hopefully we use it for, you know, for good rather than for bad. I do often think about, like, you know, what is the kind of boundary between AI and human? Because the way AI is going, as I mentioned, the example of the AI voice agent, it sounded very much like I was actually talking to a real life, to an actual human being. And you start questioning, you know, what is the difference between AI and what is the difference between humans? So if we are trying to replace personal trainers, I think AI is going to play a really big role in that. And we'll see what happens.
And I very much like, as you said earlier, your mission about democratizing personalized fitness. I think that's a goal I would sign up to. Absolutely. Sunil Dindal from Magic, it's been absolutely a pleasure to talk to you. Once again, if people want to check out the product, it's in Selfridges. If you don't want to go down to Selfridges, it's at magic.fit. But again, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a real pleasure to hear your story.
Thanks for having me on. It's been great fun.
Thank you. That wraps up another episode of the Digital Humans podcast. If you enjoyed the conversation, don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.